This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Hello and welcome to This Day in Esoteric Political History from Radiotopia. My name is Jody Avergan. Get ready to join on a journey here, folks, to the final frontiers of political history, because on this day, September 8th, 1966, Star Trek debuted. And why are we talking about Star Trek? I'm going to give you a little background. When I was first conceiving of this show, I mentioned the idea of finding smaller moments from political history and doing conversations around them. I mentioned that to my friend Ian Chillag, who immediately responded with, "Oh, are you going to do the Star Trek Jerry Ryan Barack Obama theory thing?" And somewhere in the back of my head, there was like the slightest glimmer of recognition, but I didn't really know what he was talking about. And I put it off to the side and I said, "Sure, okay, we'll have you on someday to do the Star Trek Jerry Ryan Barack Obama theory thing." And here we are. And our hook is that Star Trek debuted on September 8th, 1966. But this is a story that took place in 2004. And here to discuss this theory, our special guest, Ian Chillag, host of Everything is Alive, the brilliant podcast in which he interviews inanimate objects, also part of the Radiotopia Network. Ian, welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
And of course, also with us is Nicole Hammer of Columbia. Hello, Nikki. And Nikki, I gather you are a Star Trek fan.
I am a Star Trek fan. I will say not necessarily Star Trek original, but Star Trek Next Generation, which was very much in my like early teens sweet spot. So I'm ready for this kind of butterfly effect theory where it goes on air in 1966 and Obama becomes president in 2008.
Yes. Okay. So, Ian, we are mostly in your capable hands here to guide us through this. And I will say, as a podcast host, one of the things I really think about is the first question. I think a lot about what the first question in an interview should be, and I think it sets the tone and so forth. The first question I have written here is basically, Ian, what the fuck are we talking about?
I can't answer that one. Okay. But the theory, I will lay out as best I can. Star Trek premieres in 1966. There are a number of spinoffs. Next Generation, also my favorite. One of them is Star Trek Voyager, which premieres in 1995. And the theory goes that if Star Trek Voyager had not been created, Barack Obama would not have become president of the United States. And the world as we know it would be profoundly different. So what happens is, in the fourth season of Voyager, a cast member, Jerry Ryan, the actor, joins the cast to play a kind of reformed Borg named Seven of Nine. Jody, do you know what a Borg is?
You know, I've never seen an episode of Star Trek in my life,
wow.
So I'm way out of my depth here. So, but let's just say I do.
Okay. Doesn't matter at all.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Jerry Ryan is cast as this character. Jerry Ryan is married to Jack Ryan, who is an investment banker. They get divorced in 1999 when the Star Trek Voyager is still on the air. The ship is still far, far from Earth at that point. The divorce records are sealed by the courts. No one knows exactly what has happened. So in 2003, Jack Ryan, he's a Republican, he runs for Senate in Illinois, and during the campaign, the records of the divorce get released, and they are quite scandalous. It's revealed that when they were married, Jack Ryan, I guess, took Jerry Ryan or to sex clubs that she did not want to go to. I think he pressured her to have sex in public, which she did not want to do. This, as you might expect, totally tanks Jack Ryan's campaign. He withdraws from the race. This leads to the landslide for Jack Ryan's opponent, a state senator named Barack Obama. It is the most lopsided victory in Illinois Senate race history. I should add, there is some reporting which you can be skeptical about, knowing what you now know about their marriage, that the shooting schedule for Star Trek Voyager, the difficulties put a strain on their marriage, may have led to them divorcing when they did. So it is highly possible, goes this theory, that if there is no Star Trek Voyager, there is no public sex scandal for Jack Ryan, maybe he stays in the race. Maybe he beats Barack Obama, who remains a state senator in Illinois, then is not positioned to run for president in 2008, does not become president. And who knows the world we live in today when Barack Obama was not president of the United States.
Okay, so we will pick that apart. You used the word maybe a number of times there, so we'll go through each of those maybes, and we can see the butterflies flapping their wings all around us. But I will say one, you know, a couple things I want to ask. This is not your theory, right? I said in the intro that I'd sort of had a hint of this theory. This is something that's like floating around, right?
I mean, I think that there are people who say, thank you, Jerry Ryan, for your role in bringing Barack Obama to the presidency. Yes. Yeah, I mean, I think there's probably, some kind of bell curve of people with knowledge of Star Trek Voyager and knowledge of the polling in Illinois in 2003 where the theory begins to break apart, because Jack Ryan, you know, he had a better chance, definitely, than the person who replaced him, Alan Keyes. But yeah, I guess it is out there. And if you know, and you're skeptical.
Yeah, well, now, for better or worse, a lot of other people know. Nikki, had you heard of this before?
You know, I was vaguely aware of it, but there were so many other theories sort of swirling around Barack Obama during his years as president that this one was not at the forefront of my mind. But again, as a Star Trek fan, a Trekkie, I'm into it. I mean, it's a little more convoluted than most of the conspiracy theories circling Barack Obama, but I like it. I like the idea that Voyager sort of brought us Barack Obama, especially because he himself is a big Star Trek fan.
It's worth pointing out that a thing that happens all the time on Star Trek is there is some fissure in the space-time continuum where there are alternate timelines and people get stuck in one or the other. So we are in the one where Barack Obama became president.
Right.
Although if we can switch timelines.
Okay, here we go.
I'm definitely volunteering from 2020 to find another one.
Yeah.
I was looking and it said when they were, there's a New York Times article after Ryan had dropped out, but before Alan Keyes had been named, that one of the names being floated to take over in the race was Patrick Fitzgerald, who was U.S. attorney crusading against corruption in Illinois. And so I feel like there's like a second branch of this tree in which Patrick Fitzgerald takes over, wins, isn't there to prosecute Blagojevich later. And right now we have President Rod Blagojevich, who leaves office with dignity in 2010 or 2012.
Yeah. So it really does hinge, this theory, if we're going to take it as on face value, does hinge on the shooting schedule of Star Trek Voyager putting a strain on the marriage, right? Like a divorce between Jack Ryan and Jerry Ryan on its own, if it doesn't connect to Star Trek, then you don't get that chain of events between Star Trek Voyager and Obama getting elected, correct?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, if you are in the mindset where the butterfly flapping its wings on one side of the earth makes a hurricane here, you know, maybe there are other things that then happen that lead Barack Obama right. becoming president. But yeah, if you are wanting to make the connection that it is Voyager's fault, yeah, then you have to have Voyager play a role in the divorce.
Nikki, any other parts of this? I'm trying to keep a straight face here. Any other parts of this theory that we need to break down? I guess we should talk a little bit about what we know about the actual nature of the race in 2004 and Jack Ryan's role in it.
Yeah, I think it would be better to plumb the depths of the reality as well as the theory around it.
Okay, so what do we know?
We know that Barack Obama was favored in that Senate race. We know that Jack Ryan still, though, was a formidable candidate. 2004 wasn't an awesome year for Democrats. So sure, there's a outside chance he could have won. It certainly wouldn't have been, I don't think, the blowout that it was against Alan Keyes, who really was like this slot him in last minute, just to see what happens kind of candidate. So I doubt it would have been the kind of blowout that it was.
Right. Well, and I'll just say that the blowout, it does become part of Obama's mythos. I mean, I think it's the 04 speech and the fact that he kind of came out of nowhere and won in a landslide. Those are the two things that then just create this political momentum for him.
Absolutely. And so that's exactly right, that there is this sense of star power to him that if he had been roughed up in a race against Ryan, it might have looked a little different.
I think there's something interesting too about you can be a generational political talent and get some really good political luck, and you probably need both of those things to become a president.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the larger issue here, Nikki. I mean, it feels like I would go even a step further and say you're not going to do it without some luck along the way, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you think about the people, if luck weren't involved, we would be much better at predicting who was going to win a nomination or who was going to ultimately win the presidency. But there are all kinds of things that intervene in presidential elections, Senate elections, primaries. Does it rain hard on the day that the election is held? What does that do to turnout? I mean, there are, speaking of butterfly effects, I mean, I think that this is something that political scientists are always trying to crack down, like how many rallies were held in nearby cities and what did that do to ultimate voter turnout? There's a lot of that going on already in political science.
Is there a virus that keeps people in their homes at a time when the Postal Service is maybe not going to be able to handle mail-in voting? That kind of thing.
Yes, for instance.
We talked a little bit about the nature of the scandal and the kind of stuff, that the information that came out in the divorce proceedings. I mean, we should say that this, by all accounts, was a really kind of awful marriage, and Jerry Ryan was mistreated by her husband. But I also think that you look at something like this and you just say, gosh, 2004 versus 2020 are so different when it comes to what counts as a scandal, particularly a sex scandal for a Republican politician. I don't know, Nikki, in 2020, if these papers come out, do they sink Jack Ryan's political career?
I think that as a Republican candidate, maybe not. We saw that Roy Moore really held on throughout his campaign for the special election, even though he didn't win, but he faced much more serious charges. I think they'd be viewed differently. If you look back at the press in 2004, the things that were emphasized were kind of the salaciousness of the scandal, the fact that it was like sex clubs and that bondage or voyeurism or different things were involved. I think today the focus would be much more on the issue of consent and the fact that Jerry Ryan kept being taken to places by surprise, according to her account, that she had said she didn't want to be in. So I think it would be viewed differently. But like back in 2004, we're still in the high tabloid era of political scandals. And you see this with this, you see it in 2008 with John Edwards, where they're just covered much more paparazzi-like.
Yeah, I mean, I also, in getting ready to talk to you two, I looked back I was surprised by how similar things were then with totally different outcomes, both in sort of the things that feel radical in the politics, but then end up becoming platform issues. Like you were saying, in what this scandal does to a person, it hasn't been that long, but it has been forever.
All right, I will cede the floor and let the two of you talk a little bit about Star Trek as we wrap up here. So Star Trek Voyager, this character that Jerry Ryan played, where does it rank for you? Is it a good character? You know, lay it on me.
Look, it's fine, but the Borg changed pretty dramatically from its introduction during The Next Generation, from this sort of like soulless automaton to something like Jerry Ryan's character, which was sort of like the full spectrum of human emotions. You can watch through many season finales of The Next Generation to see the Borg evolution, but I think you get a fully evolved Borg here. But I will say, Voyager was not my top.
But wait, you like your Borgs very Borgy. You don't want them. You don't want them dipping into the uncanny valley, is what I'm hearing here.
I mean, look, it was interesting to see them evolve, but they were less scary, I think, the more that they humanized them. I want a Dalek-style Borg, okay. Cyberman-style Borg.
I'll just say I'm fully comfortable publicly putting my voice behind a wild and probably wrong conspiracy theory counterfactual on your show. I am uncomfortable saying anything about Star Trek when people listen. I cannot handle the storm that would bring down upon my house.
People have very strong opinions. Yes. All right, we will leave it there, and I will say just in the wake of that our email address is thisdaypod@gmail.com if you have any comments about this theory, the choice of this topic, or Star Trek itself. But Ian Chillog, thank you so much for doing this, and folks, you really should listen to Ian's podcast Everything is Alive on the Radiotopia Network. It is fantastic, but thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
We finally did it. The first thing that anyone ever told me that I should do on this show. And here it is. So I appreciate it.
Big moment.
A big moment. And Nicole Hemmer of Columbia, thanks to you as always.
Thanks, Judy.
This Day in Esoteric Political History is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Our researcher and producer is Jacob Feldman. Our producer is Brittany Brown. We also post transcripts of this show on our website every time, so you can go to thisdaypod.com to check those out. Thanks to Colin Nakua for putting those together each episode. Follow us on social media. We're posting a bunch of stuff at thisdaypod on Twitter and Instagram. My name is Jody Avergan. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you soon. Support for This Day in Esoteric Political History comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is the only software your business will ever need. Featuring a suite of integrated business applications, Odoo connects your business operations together so you can get more done in less time. Odoo has apps for everything: CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, marketing, manufacturing, you name it, Odoo's got it. To learn more, visit odoo.com/thisday. That's odoo.com/thisday. Radiotopia.